You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
April the 3rd, 2020, there is no way to sugarcoat this, and I would not even try. I'm going to give it to you as direct as it's coming, right from the government. Our unemployment rate jumping to 4.4%, 701,000 jobs lost, and it's going to get worse before it gets better. The Chamber of Commerce is reporting 24% of small businesses, 24% temporarily closing. By temporary, we're saying if they can be open in another week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, they might come back. But then again, some will never come back. That's one in four small businesses, the driving engine of our economy. 57% of them are optimistic they will get to resume. All of this is not because of any economic policies from the White House, anything Congress has done, our deficit. And yes, the deficit just continues to run like a train off the tracks, and it's going to continue because we've got all of these trillions now being spent to deal with COVID, money that has to be spent, but it doesn't make it any easier. It's like, if you have your car and you've got to use it to get to and from work and suddenly a major part goes out, you don't have an option. That is it. You've got to have it. You've got to take whatever money you got from some other source, borrow it, whatever, to keep your car running. We are in that way right now with our economic engine. It's nothing to do with any political statements by anyone or actions. It is a worldwide crisis. To that extent, the COVID infections worldwide passing the 1 million mark, 1 million confirmed infected. That does not include maybe those we don't know about, particularly in China. And North Korea continues to insist, we don't have any. Right. And confirmed deaths worldwide, 55,000. The U.S. COVID infections confirmed, 245,000. You might have heard numbers just under that, might have heard some just above it. I'm telling you, it is a moving target. The death count at 6,000. And there's an expert, someone being billed as an expert, that is saying this leaked out of a lab in China. We're going to get into that in more detail in this first hour coming up. But we've got a lot to go with through, and part of it is, why the sudden turnaround you're hearing from the White House now, and Dr. Fauci, you should get a mask. You should get a mask and wear a mask if you're out in public. Previously, we were told it won't really make any difference. I've had experts on here say the main thing about the mask is not so much to keep you from breathing anything in, but that you might touch something with your hand, you forget about it, and then before you know it, you put your hand on your lip or your face, and you're transmitting whatever you picked up on your hand. But we know this is airborne. They've confirmed that for some time. So that is obviously accentuating it. And there's still another reason now they're citing. Not just that it's airborne, but how fast it can get airborne. We'll get into that. And, of course, the questions continue about this malaria drug, chloroquine. Is it effective? Is it not? Can it be given? Is it criminal to tell doctors you cannot use this for your patients? Just take your best shot, but don't use that one. We'll get into that subject as well. And I've got Tom Wellington back on board today. Wellington Environmental, yes, a sponsor of this program. And I make that very clear to you. I'll be transparent. But I have him on because this is what their business does and has for decades, going in and remediate such situations as what we're dealing now with COVID-19. It's a new virus. But the way and what they have to deal with is not new. I want you to hear how they go about treating and what kind of businesses they are dealing with right now. And James Carafano from Heritage Foundation will be talking about life after COVID-19 for the U.S., for the world, lessons learned, and hopefully applied so we do not go through this again. And a question out of Florida. Churches, synagogues, mosques, the Florida governor says you can go ahead and hold services. Is that a good idea? We've got a lot to cover over the next 2 hours. Let your friends, family know that we're on the air. I do appreciate it. In the meantime, lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
COVID-19 is a new health concern, but Wellington Environmental has 30 years experience to make your company and environment safe. Wellington Environmental can give you peace of mind, and the cost is very reasonable. These days, you can't take a chance that customers, employees, your family would be exposed to COVID-19. You have to be proactive. That starts by calling Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. You'll quickly see why customers have relied on Wellington Environmental for decades. COVID-19 can survive for hours on your furniture, your computers, your equipment, and every time someone touches that surface, they could be exposed. You don't want that liability. Call Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
My sponsors keep this program on the air, so my thanks to John Bill Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest, best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Bill Roofing, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Traveling in a fighter combi, on a hippie trailhead full of zombies. I met a strange lady, she made me nervous. She took me in and gave me breakfast. And she said, do you come from a land down under?
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
We have to make sure we don't forget that the most important thing is to keep this 6-foot physical distance from individuals. But it's become clear that even when you try to do that with certain necessities of life, going out to get food or going to a pharmacy to get your medications, that you may inadvertently come into closer contact. Because of that, and because of some recent information, that the virus can actually be spread even when people just speak, as opposed to coughing and sneezing. The better part of valor is that when you're out and you can't maintain that 6-foot distance, to wear some sort of facial covering.
That is Dr. Fauci earlier today. I'm sorry, that might have been from yesterday, but they're doing the same thing today. From the White House, talking about the need for you to consider using a mask when you're out in public. Why the sudden turnaround? We had been told over the last week, 2 weeks, that there was confusion. I mean, no, you don't really need it. I mean, it's not going to do you any good. Other than if I, as I said in the beginning, in the monologue, that if you come in contact with something on your hand that you touched maybe a stairwell rail or a computer that someone has already touched or they've sneezed nearby and they left some COVID-19 virus behind, and then you get it on your hand and then you get your hand near your face and now it's in your mouth or in your nose or in your eye, that would be the only reason, that you don't need to worry about simply the breathing issue. And yet as the word began to come out that this stuff does travel airborne and it can stay in the air for quite some distance, and then a report came out the other day that this 6-foot distance between person to person, a safe, isolated distance, might not be enough. Some experts were saying, hey, if you really sneeze, you could you're looking at 27 feet, almost 30 feet away. Well, there's no way we can begin to move around that far apart on a continuous basis. So with that in mind, Dr. Fauci and others are now saying, it might not be a bad idea to have a mask because it's just difficult. And also the other part of the information that came to light is they have realized that it's not just coughing and sneezing, just speaking, you might release, if you're carrying COVID-19, molecules in the air. In other words, most of us have believed that if I have a cold or a virus and I sneeze, if I cover my mouth and I do something of that nature, that I'm protecting you. But prior to that sneeze, if I'm already carrying it and I'm just talking to you and we're within 6 feet or less, it's very possible I could be exposing you just by being there and talking. And I might not even realize I have any kind of illness. So the doctor is saying a mask would be a good idea, but still do not forget the separation. They're still pushing that as a guideline, that you have your personal space around you and the distancing. But again, the question, why was there so much confusion? I've had experts on both sides. I've had experts who say, yeah, I think a mask is essential. I've had others say, I think it's probably a good idea, whether or not it's essential. Others say it doesn't really change anything other than protecting your face in case you start to touch it with your hand or something. I'll tell you what I'm thinking. Here's what I'm thinking. I'm not trying to stir up a controversy or a conspiracy, but we have a great and dire shortage of these masks, especially the N5, which is the best protection available. And if there's a rush on the mask by the general public, we would not have enough masks for hospital and personnel that need them. And we already know that. We already know we have a shortage. So I'm going to ask you, do you think in the beginning, some were saying, I'm not saying we put the American people at risk, but saying, you know, this is, it's kind of an open question. So rather than accelerate purchasing, hoarding of the mask available and taking it out of the hands of health professionals who might need them, maybe we just say it's not critical. We're going to play a soundbite from Dr. Fauci. And as you listen to it, just keep that question in mind. Were they basically saying, don't worry about it because they knew they had a shortage and they thought, we've got to get more masks before we tell everyone to go get them, or our health people, those on the front lines, will not have the protection they need. The words of Dr. Fauci.
The important point to emphasize, though, is that that should in no way ever take away from the availability of masks that are needed for the healthcare providers who are in real and present danger of getting infected from the people that they're taking care of.
You might hear it differently than I did, but what I heard him saying, it's important that we don't take away the mask from those who most need it. I think that's pretty clear what he said. Now, the reasoning behind it, that's up to interpretation. And in the midst of all of this comes a story reference 3M. I mentioned the other day, 3M was one of the companies stepping up and starting to manufacture more masks, going to start creating and producing them at a higher level than they had. Other companies have been changing to it. And yes, you've heard Mike Lindell and the MyPillow guy saying that he was converting part of his factory to start creating masks, at least the basic cloth mask. The basic cloth mask, which are not the surgical type masks. They're not the N5 respiratory mask, but it would still be effective. To that extent, I've even been told that you could wear a scarf. Ladies, if you just put a scarf up over your face and your nose, that would be some protection for you and protection from others around you. Now, the thicker the scarf, the more containment, all the better. But in the midst of companies stepping up to do what they need to, and the president having the Defense Production Act where he could order them to do it if they didn't, and you've had the liberal wing yelling, why aren't you using this Defense Production Act and getting more done? The attitude was, and I'd agree, that American companies want to support. They're going to step up and do it anyway. They don't need to be ordered. And yet there comes this story involving 3M. Now, there's more than one side to this story. So don't jump to conclusion. But the director of the Florida Division of Emergency Management said that 3M, the manufacturer of that N95 mask, a preferred piece of personal protective equipment for medical personnel, was selling the mask to foreign countries, a cash basis. In other words, are you telling me a U.S. company turning its back on U.S. citizens selling the mask because they could get cash basis, cash in hand, not a credit, not something to come later, but cash at this moment instead of providing it for Americans? That's the allegation. And again, according to the head of the Florida Division of Emergency Management, the idea that an American company is selling masks away from our hospitals, doctors, the real heroes on the front lines, is really criminal. He said, for the last several weeks, we've had a boiler room chasing down 3M authorized distributors, brokers, representing that they sell the N95 mask, only to get to the warehouse to find out it's empty. We're told our shipments are on cargo planes and the flights don't even appear. We are chasing ghosts. He claims he's reached out to numerous distributors in the U.S., confirming his suspicions. And he said he was shocked to find American companies quietly partnering with foreign buyers at a time of a crisis in our nation. Now, the official response from 3M is, those are our distributors. If that's what they're doing, we can't stop them. I beg to differ. The hell you can't. You cut them off. They're no longer going to be a distributor. If that's your story and you want to stick to it, you cut off that distributor. And then on top of that, the president is invoking the Defense Production Act on 3M, reference those masks. He issued an order mandating that 3M now sell to FEMA as many as the agency says it needs. See, that's the importance of this Defense Production Act, the one he invoked a week ago, that he signed and said, I don't think I'm going to need it because I expect American companies to do the right thing. Well, in this case, I don't know where the issue is. Is it the 3M company itself, the distributors, or a combination? But what we've had from this international company is masks not getting to the American public and American personnel and hospital teams. Now the CEO is saying the company is working closely with FEMA, on track to double global production of these N95 masks to 2 billion a year and do so within 12 months. I hope that's going to be adequate and in time. At least it's preparing for the next time. He also insists that 80% of the U.S. supply is being funneled directly into healthcare facilities, especially the hardest hit areas, New York, Seattle, with the help of 6 large distributors. And he points out the remaining 20% going to fulfill federal government needs, most going direct to FEMA. It's not clear if the president invoking the Defense Production Act got them to that point. But if the idea from 3M was, hey, we can sell who we want to, and we can get cash in hand when we're all looking at the economy going upside down, we're going to need that cash. This is why the president invoked and can use that act. 3M has a big political issue here, a public relations issue, I should say. I don't know what the real story is. I don't know if we'll ever really get the full story. But if I hear from 3M that, well, it's our distributors, we can't control them, I'm going to say again, you can. You cut them off. They no longer can sell your product. And if that was happening, that is absolutely criminal. Someone should be dealt with harshly. There was no violation of actual law, but moral law and patriotic law clearly violated. Question still about this malaria drug, chloroquine. Some are saying if you are going to deny doctors a right to use that in the midst of this crisis, that would be criminal. We're going to get into that in the next hour. I want to take a break now. When we come back, as I said, someone being billed as an expert is claiming that COVID-19 came directly out of a lab in China by mistake. I'll explain when we continue.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
You want to look better, stronger, leaner? Visit my trainer, Jamie, and his team at Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. Check it out, redfitnesslounge.com, redfitnesslounge.com.
This is no place for no hero. This is no place for no middle man. This is no place for no hero to call home.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Before I leave this subject about these 3M N95 mask. I've done a quick survey. You can do as well. Amazon has masks for sale. And I don't know the qualifications on some of these masks. I'm not an expert on them. I can find them on Amazon prices. Some of them just the kind of disposable things that you would throw away, or you can rewash, ranging anywhere from $12 for a pack of five or something like that to more. The actual 3M product, as offered on eBay, which I assume here's where folks are trying to make their profit if they've got one, ranging from $125 up to $340 for what appears to be the same exact mask, only it's inside a box, not hasn't been opened up. You got to be careful if you're doing any of these. First of all, if you're getting what you think you're buying. If you want to spend your money on it, fine, but I will reemphasize to you that even Dr. Lehman said the other day, and I've had other experts agree, that anything to cover your face would help preventing, one, you putting your hand to your mouth or your nose, and secondly, that if it's a matter of keeping you from spreading your breath on others, again, that would be helpful. All right, let me run through this quickly on this coronavirus expert, because I'm going to give it just a short shrift time because I don't know for sure if it's going to be proven correctly or not and what value it has at this point. We know China lied to us. But there's a molecular biologist quoted as a coronavirus expert that claims in no uncertain terms that the virus was unleashed due to a leak from the Wuhan Institute of Virology in China, that the top virologist on bat-borne viruses was working there, and she has sworn on her life, it did not leak from my lab. She said, I was worried about it, but it did not. And once we decided it had not been leaked from our lab, I slept better. With this molecular biologist now being quoted saying, a denial is not a refutation. In other words, not denying it is not saying it did not happen. And one of the doctors that was involved at that lab at the time has since died because of coronavirus. These viruses have a history of escaping from Chinese labs. The SARS virus escaped twice from a Chinese institute in Beijing in 2004, 1 year after it was initially contained. So it is very possible that this virus that we have now did leak out of a lab. Why were they dealing with it in a lab? Would they have been doing it to see what we can do to stop some kind of spread, or would it be to see if we can weaponize such an item against any enemies? Senator Tom Cotton of Arkansas has been at the forefront, raising questions about China's statements and their actions. He said they concealed the virus for many weeks and then tried to say it just came out of a food market. He doesn't believe them. I don't either. We'll take a break when we come back. Tom Wellington of Wellington Environmental talking about some of the businesses they're treating right now for COVID-19, what kind of treatment they do. I think you'll find it most interesting. Stand by, please.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
I'm sure you have some alarms to let you know if someone breaks into your home. But what happens if your home is invaded by creatures? Six legs, eight legs, maybe more. Rottler Pest Solutions can help keep those pests out of your house. And if they're already inside, get them out. In fact, you can get a free, no-obligation inspection and estimate to protect your home. You can get that at any time. Go online to Rottler.com. Rottler.com, schedule your free inspection today. Rottler is the largest family-owned pest control business in Missouri. 10 locations, more than 200 team members. Plus, Rottler has a money-back guarantee. If you're not happy for any reason, they will make it right or your money back. You know, I first called Rottler more than 40 years ago, so I know they will take good care of you. I continue to trust Rottler. Rottler Pest Solutions, Rottler.com, Rottler.com.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back, and we're going to be joined by one of my sponsors, and I always want to make this clear to the public. First, when I have someone like this on, I want you to know of our connection. I believe in full transparency. And Tom Wellington of Wellington Environmental has been with me for 5 years or so, and I know him personally. And I have sponsors that I believe in, and I want to support because I believe in what they're doing. And when they have something of value to add to a subject that's underway, I want to have them on. And for 50 plus years as a journalist, it's a thin line because I don't want to come off like, well, I'm trying to tell you what they do. I'm not trying to promote them as a business. And yet I think there are times that you need to know about what they do. And this is one of those times because Wellington Environmental has for 30 years dealt with viruses and environmental situations. COVID-19 is new, but what they do and how they've been doing it is not so new. Tom's on a job site right now with his team. Tom, thanks for taking some time.
Thanks, Larry, and thanks for your support.
Well, let me get a clarification. We were talking before you joined us about the N95 mask, and I was looking at pricing where folks are maybe trying to buy them on eBay or Amazon and getting an understanding. First of all, the 95, is that a reference to how well it filters or something?
Yeah, well, the N95 is acceptable for what they're using in the hospitals. It's not something that we would use, and sometimes you see it in construction to keep dust off people. I am not sure if the 95 represents the it does not represent the protection factor.
Yeah, so I want to get into what you guys. It's different, but above and beyond that, I mean, these prices. And again, I don't know if it's. I saw one that indicated if you buy a pack of 20, it's $400, and they had been something like $15 a piece. So this is what's going on some of the black market. Even Amazon.com has some available as well. Now, you guys use an entirely different thing. You use what is really called a respirator. Is that right? Am I using the wrong
term?
That's
right. We use two different types. Well, on the negative pressure side, those are the respirators that you see people wearing. They either have a face shield or they're a half mask. And then they have screw-on type cartridges. And the cartridges we change out depending upon what hazard we're working with. For instance, some may be for fine particulate, and some may be for odors from vapors. So we switch those out, and then we also have something that's called a PAPR, and that's a powered air purifying respirator. And it's a little bit easier. It's less pulmonary stress on the user because it pushes air into the mask rather than a negative pressure respirator is one where you have to suck in air and it pulls it through the respirator cartridge.
And let me understand, you do or do not have an oxygen tank? I mean, is it like a firefighter uses?
Yeah, no, we do have those too, and that'd be scuba. That's a self-contained breathing apparatus, but we're not using those in any of these situations. Those are for specific types of hazards that we may run into.
Now, you did say that the CDC, as of the just 2 days ago, issued some new guidelines on using these respirators.
Well, on cleaning them, basically, the American Hospital Association, you're right, 2 days ago, just put out a document and basically outlined three different ways that paper face mask that everybody is wearing right now in these hospital settings, how they can be decontaminated. I'm not so sure I believe in all of them. I mean, a couple of them, the ultraviolet light disinfection process is safe for those and is recommended. The vaporized hydrogen peroxide, if it's fully vaporized, I think that's okay. But then they also have talked about steam cleaning the respirator. That scares me a little bit.
That does me too. If you're putting moisture with that virus, that doesn't seem like a good idea.
Yeah, you're going right where I was going.
Is that from the CDC?
No, American Hospital Association.
Okay.
That steam bothers me in the fact that if it stays wet too long and it's a fibrous type product, it may develop a fungi or mold.
I thought those particular ones that you just, you know, you put up over your earlobes and you pull up across your face, that they're paper, they're meant to be thrown away, used a short period of time, and then
are.
You're disposable.
But I hear from a lot of doctors and people that and clients who have spouses that are doctors saying their husband or their wife has only been given one paper respirator and they've got to use it for weeks, and they've got to figure out a way to clean it. So it's very tough. It's a little bit dangerous.
Now, as far as I'm concerned, Wellington Environmental and your team and other industries like you, I mean, I know you service all across the Midwest. I want to get into some of the businesses and so forth you're treating and what you're seeing now. But I look at you guys like this. I mean, if there's shots fired, only the police officers are the ones running into the building where the shots are fired. If it's a fire, everybody's running out. The firemen are running in. COVID-19 exposure, everybody's running up. You guys are running in.
That's pretty much true. And we've had some cases, as we've outlined in the past, we've had a couple different kinds of cases, some in office buildings, some in construction sites, and one in a concrete truck.
A concrete truck?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, are you talking about in the cab or?
Yeah, in the actual cab of the vehicle.
Because the driver got tested to be... found positive?
Yeah, I don't know all the specifics of it, but I do know that that person is out and in isolation, and that his wife was one of the people that did have COVID.
You know, and a side note, I noticed I was pulling up and looking at some stories the other day, reference Uber. This has hit Uber and, of course, cab companies very hard. So what they're trying to do is say, you know, stay home. They're saying stay home, but let us bring food to you. In other words, looking for another way to be used. Now, reference some of the things you are doing. What kind of businesses are you dealing with? And you mentioned some of the construction sites, and yeah, I'm sure you got nursing homes in there as well.
Yeah, but we've even been out of town on those, and we're seeing from the construction side, as contractors are closing up projects and getting them ready to turn over to the hospital, the clinic, or the nursing home, that we're being called in just to make sure it's disinfected before they turn it back over to the patients and the people that are going to be using it. So, and that's one of the same things that we've seen lately, a bigger increase in, is definitely the construction sites closer to completion.
And I would also expect that once we begin to reopen the economy, restaurants, other businesses like that that have been closed, they could just open their door and say, we're good, but no one knows, right?
Well, and you bring up a good point as reoccupancy of some of these buildings. We currently have a plan with a couple corporations where how are we going to respond to these buildings and disinfect them in a precautionary status as they reoccupy. And some of them we're going to do twice a week, some we do once a week. And of course, if a case erupts again, then it's going to mean the difference between fogging and deep cleaning, disinfecting.
So I was just going to ask, tell me exactly what you do when you go into one of these facilities. I guess it depends upon what the environment is and what you've been told.
That's true. If we're fogging a building on a precautionary basis, we're using the same disinfectant as what we would use when we clean it when somebody has a COVID case. But fogging is a really ultralight mist that settles on all the surfaces and catches more surfaces than what maybe the housekeeping staff is doing or the environmental services staff in the hospital. So it adds a little bit more protection, a little bit more comfort for building owners and occupiers. And then when we have a case, then we switch status and we go to deep cleaning. Now, deep cleaning also means our personnel are protected completely differently, and they're fully suited. They're in PPE. They have respirator training. They are under medical surveillance for pulmonary function and their bloodborne pathogen training. We also handle the waste differently. It goes out as a biohazard waste.
And when do you make a decision between deep cleaning and fogging is going to be adequate?
Yeah, well, deep cleaning is after a case or a suspected case comes up. And so that means what we are actually doing is physically disinfecting touchable surfaces and wiping them down with the same disinfectant.
Well, help me understand.
Afterwards, we go through with fogging.
Help me understand something. And I'm not picking on any particular industry, but I am thinking about some good friends of mine who have restaurants. They have closed down. They've been closed since all this happened. In fact, there's one that had several employees they know had COVID-19. Others don't know that they've had any, but they don't know if they didn't have some guests that were inside that might have left something behind. And so we seem to find that this COVID-19 lasts a little bit longer than we originally thought. When they open the doors again, is it why? I mean, what kind of lie? It's a delicate balance here. I'm trying not to make a business look viable and vulnerable. I'm going to have to break this down in a couple of different ways because I've got a break coming up. But the very first question, let me put it this way. If a business has been shut for 2, 3, 4 weeks now, and then they go to open their door, are they fully clean at that point because no one's been in and out of them?
The statistics say yes, they're clean. However, most people are taking the extra precaution to at least disinfect using a fogging system. And in a lot of businesses, I just came out of a building, and their housekeeping staff is going way over what they would normally do, and they're doing a great job. And I think all these businesses are going to do that and take a hard look at it before they reopen.
All right. I want to come back and pick up. I'm going to go to break. I'm going to come back and follow up with that and another item, Tom. We'll be right back.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
All right, we're back with Tom Wellington of Wellington Environmental. And as I said, we're not Tom's already a sponsor and has been for some time, but I wanted him on because of his expertise in dealing with environmental issues, particularly the COVID-19. And we are going to put up their website at Larry Connors USA Facebook later after this program airs. And I will give you a phone number in a moment, but this is not trying to sell Tom Wellington. They've got plenty of business and will always be glad to help do more. But I just want, if there's some questions I did not cover for you information-wise, how you can reach out yourself to them. I'll give that phone number in a moment. But they also are members of the Infectious Control University they run to help deal with hospitals and so forth. They know how to manage risk, reduce healthcare-associated infections. So COVID-19 is just another on the list. Now, Tom, part of the issue I was getting to about businesses that have been closed and now opening the doors and coming back in, the liability of opening a business, even though I've been closed for 2 months and everything should be good, as you said, belief is that COVID-19 would have expired and not be there. But I'm thinking about the liability issue. I don't know.
Yeah, you know, in my days when I used to work for the Pentagon, I was always told by the lawyers there in the JAG department that if you show you took reasonable steps, then, and I'm not a lawyer, so that then you can protect people and protect your business. And I think that's where it's going to go afterwards when people reopen. Did we take reasonable steps before we reopen to make sure the environment in the building or wherever it is going to be safe? And I think that's kind of the guiding light that we live by. And
we're not just talking about businesses. We're not just talking about businesses, schools, churches, universities.
Yeah, everybody, I think, has got to look at things closely because, unfortunately, we may see a lot of lawsuits after all this is over.
You're also seeing some business-related items because of COVID, you pointed out to me.
Well, yeah, one of the interesting things, and it's kind of scary to all businesses, especially us that are small businesses, is the fact that I'm in all these buildings every day and I'm looking at them and they're empty for the most part. You know, a lot of people are working from home, which is great. But then when it comes to payroll, I'm having a lot of businesses telling me that they're getting 50% of their payments, which they would normally have in a month. And that means either the businesses are starting to hoard cash, which I could certainly see happening because they don't know what's going to happen, or that nobody's in there to process payroll. And that's kind of a scary thing. And now right now we are in the process of going through the SBA forms that have to be filled out for the payroll protection program that they put out for the government. And we had them filled out this morning. We spent all morning doing that, and they changed the form again today. The government did.
That's not going to be helpful. Jeez. I thought the whole idea was to cut the red tape and get the money out quicker.
And today's the deadline. And we're even hearing from our bank that this money will evaporate quickly. So if you're not in and filling out forms for any business and all your customers, Larry, and even independents and people that are, whatever they do, if they should be involved in filling out the paperwork from the SBA. And you can get it from your accountant, or you can get it from your bank.
But do it right away. Yeah.
Yeah.
Tom, again, that's some insight I'm glad you shared with us, because I know that's going to have a lot of folks suddenly, hey, I need to call my lawyer right now. I need to call my bank. I need to get them on the phone right now, and I can understand.
Yes.
Tom, yes. I appreciate it. We certainly thank you for not only supporting this program, but I know those that you service and are making their environment safe, they certainly appreciate it. And, again, folks, I'll be putting up his website at Larry Connors USA Facebook on the podcast. And, Tom, as I let you go, I'll talk to you again later. But
yes, sir. Thank you, Larry.
All right, you bet. And, folks, here's a phone number for Wellington Environmental. You can call and just ask additional questions. I mean, I don't need to sell Wellington Environmental, but if there's another question environmentally, a particular facility, you want to know if they can treat or how they would do it, things of that nature, here's the number. It's a 314 number. They also have an 800 number. I'll give that. I'll just tell you what. I'll just give you the 314 number, because the 800 number will show up at their website, Wellington Environmental, which we will put as a link on Larry Connors USA Facebook. The 314 number is 644 644-4930. 644-4930. And again, I'm putting that out there not to get Tom more business, but if you have a question that I did not get covered for you and how it might relate to you and your business and your environment, they would be glad to help you. And they and I'm going to charge you to answer a question. They often go out and give risk assessment estimates for free anyway, and this is one of these situations where I think you need to be on the cutting edge of it. I do, and I'm thinking about some of my friends that have these restaurants, and I know they also have to be concerned that when they reopen, what's going to happen at that point? I mean, it's we want to think we're going to be done with this and maybe by the end of April, May. Hopefully we will be. The other point we'll get to in the next hour, and that is we don't have a magic bullet drug yet, but is the malaria drug being used effectively, efficiently, and it, would it be criminal to tell doctors you cannot use that drug? And we'll be joined by Jim Carafano of the Heritage Foundation on life in the U.S. and the world after COVID-19 wrecks the global economy. So we got a lot to cover still for you. So if you're just settling in with us, please let your friends and neighbors know we're on the air. Got another full hour coming up for you. We will begin, as always, with news and commentary. Please stand by.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.